السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمدللہ ذو فضل کرم احسان فاللہ سبحانہ وتعالی وی کنٹینیو آن پیج نمبر 43 آف تحفہ دلہن وی آر ڈسکسنگ ریگارڈنگ دا وائف ایڈوائزنگ دا ہزبینڈ کریکٹلی. The Quran Sharif stipulates that a child should be breastfed for 2 years. During this period, it is compulsory for the father to pay for the suckling mother. That means if the mother herself is not going to suckle the child, and if you are going to get a foster mother to suckle the child, then that foster mother needs to be paid. However, the couple have the prerogative to wean the child off milk before 2 years on condition that they have consulted with each other. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says about this in Surah Baqarah, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, فَإِنْ أَرَادَ فِصَالًا عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْهُمَا وَتَشَاورٍ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. The meaning of this is, now if they want to wean with mutual consent and consultation, there is no sin on them, right? You see, one is that generally the mother herself will feed her child, right? Then sometimes what happens is there is a divorce or there is a separation, right? So the baby is living with the mother, and the mother, for whatever reason, cannot suckle the child. Now it will be the father's responsibility to pay, right, to pay the foster mother to feed the child. It will be the father's responsibility to pay. Now his responsibility to pay is up to 2 years, right? By 2 years, the child has to be off the breast milk and the child has to start having normal foods, normal milk, etc., right? However, if this child is taking to solids earlier, then they can wean the child off the milk earlier. The breast milk we're talking about can wean the child off earlier. But this must be done with mutual consultation. The mother must not just do her own thing. The father must not just do his own thing. They must do it with mutual consultation. The point here, what the kitab is pointing out to us, is that between the husband and wife, there should be consultation, there should be correct advice, etc. This is the point, right? The Quran also mentions that mashwara is among the characteristics of the mu'mineen. Allah Pak mentions, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ, and those who have responded to their Rabb, وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and they have established salah, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ, and whose affairs are with mutual consultation between them. Here again it shows that believers, they make mashwara with regards to everything. Today it is a cry. The wife will say, but I didn't know anything about this. The husband will say, but you making your own plans, I don't know anything about this. So there must be a time when husband and wife are spending time together and there must be mashwara. I'll give you a perfect example that causes a lot of problems, right? Your mother phones you, Assalamu alaikum. Hey, what you're doing this weekend? Come on, I invited all the children, I invited all my sons and daughters, everybody I invited, you all also come away. Right? Now, your heart wants to go. I mean, it's your parents' house, all your brothers are going to be there, your sisters are going to be there, nephews, nieces, everything. Right? Now, you don't know if your husband has other plans. You don't know if he's planning something in his mind. You don't know if he's got other plans. He hasn't told you anything as yet. Right? It's Monday, Tuesday, your mother phoned and gave this invitation. Now, your duty at this point in time is to say, Mummy, when my husband comes, or whatever you call him now, when he comes, I'll talk to him, and then if it's okay, I'll phone you back. Now, you mustn't already tell your mother, yeah, no problem, we're coming this weekend, right, I'll make the salad, and I'll make this cake, and I'll make that dessert. Now, you finish, like, it's sorted out, right? Now when your husband comes home in the evening, he sees you making one dessert and you are busy with... So he asks you, what you doing? No, I'm making these things for the weekend. We're going with my mummy. Right. Now, what will happen? His temperature is going to shoot 150 and he's going to go off his head, right? Now, even if he wants to go, right, but he's going to be highly upset here because nobody consulted with him. I mean, is he just a statue here in this house? Nobody consulted with him. However, if when he came home, you gave him supper, you sat down, let him play with the children, let him tell you whatever he wanted to tell you, everything is sorted out. Now both of you are fed, rested, finished, read Maghrib, Isha, everything. Now you're alone in the room. Now you tell him, hey, you know what, man? Mummy phoned today and she's inviting us to come this weekend. She's inviting the whole family. She wants everybody to come. So I told her that, no, when you come, I'll speak to you and then we'll take a decision and then phone her back. So think about it. If you want to go, you tell me, then I'll phone and tell mummy. Right. Now he'll ask you what you say. Then you say, no, I'll be happy if we can go. But if you got any other work, I don't mind. We don't have to go also. But it'll be nice if we go. Right. So now if you talk like this, then there's no friction. There's no problem. Right. Now the husband will even feel like taking you. Or unless he's got some other plan, then he'll tell you, hey, you know, but this weekend I was thinking this or I was thinking that or I got a business meeting or certain buzurg is coming to town, I wanted to attend the program or I wanted to go 3 days this weekend, whatever, he'll tell you. Then you need to understand that, no, okay, normally he does take me to my parents' house. Fine, if I can't make it this time, I can't make it. It's one of those things, that's the sabr that I have to make. Understand? So there must be this mutual consultation. In a hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed, Amirun nisa'a fi banatihinna. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructing the men, he's telling the men, consult your wives concerning your daughters. This hadith sharif enjoins the fathers to consult with their wives concerning the marriage of their daughters. Right, because ladies understand ladies. The mother understands the daughter more than the father. Sometimes the daughter may be closer to the father. Right, she may be closer to the father. She maybe gets on well with the father. But when it comes to these issues, the lady will know more than the man. So Allah Pak, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is instructing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to affairs of this nature, consult with the woman. Not regarding setting up the hall and all that. No. Regarding whether you think our daughter is ready for marriage. If somebody wants to come to see her, do you think she's ready? Now the lady of the house will be able to judge whether my daughter is still nadan, my daughter, whether she is able to run a house, whether I think she's ready for marriage or she needs a little bit more time. Right? The mother will know these things. The father will not know these things. And the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written by Ibn Hisham rahmatullah alayhi, describes Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha as a woman. Now remember, we're discussing the different sifat of Nabi of Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So we had discussed where she would spend her wealth, right, sacrifice her wealth on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're discussing another point here with regards to Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. وَكَانَتْ لَهُ وَزِيرَ صِدْقٍ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ يَشْكُو إِلَيْهَا. Right? She was a sincere advisor to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his religious struggle. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to share his worries with her. Right? So she used to be like a pillar of support. Now sometime Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking about something, there is a problem with certain tribe or whatever it is. Now you could go up to her and tell her, you know what, now this is the situation here. What do you think? How do we go forward here? And then she would advise him, or she would just give him an ear, listen to him. Now imagine, he was the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But he is still consulting with his wife. So the men also need to take a lesson from here. Sometimes the men just feel that, no, we just do our own thing. So when you become a mother also, and you have a son, and now your son is married, and you want to invite your son home for meals, then you must educate your son. That, look, I want you all to come, but you first speak to your wife, see if it's okay with her, and then if it's okay, I would like you all to come over. So we must educate. Together with deep insight and excellent character, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was endowed with sound intelligence. She had many years of experience with people and understood them well. Her opinions were therefore very sensible and valuable. She always gave Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam advice that lessened his grief and gave him all the support that he needed. When a person comes to you with their grief, then that is not the time to say, yeah, I told you, now go suffer now. That's not the time for that. Now is the time to listen to the person and try and give some good counsel. Right? This should be the behavior of all Muslim women. Whenever her husband requires her advice, she should give the matter the attention it deserves, make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and offer her best advice. And when she's giving advice, she must not have ulterior motives. She mustn't be thinking selfishly. She must give the best advice which will be the best for the situation. I'll give you an example, right? Say your husband comes to you and your husband says to you, hey, you know, I'm trying to do for my parents, right? The washing machine packed up last month, I bought them a new washing machine, right? Then there was some problem with the geyser a couple months ago, I got that thing sorted out. Now I went there today, my mother is still telling me that I'm not doing enough. Right? So your husband comes home and he tells you this. My mother is still telling me I'm not doing enough. I don't do anything for them. Right? But I've done this, I've done that. Right? Now you can react in one of two ways. You can either take out your cat's claws and say, right, this is the opportunity I was waiting for. And you can say, yeah, I told you. You know, they just ungrateful men. Me also, when I make something and take there, I can keep making and take and go there. But every time they tell me, I don't do anything. So I'm telling you, see here, you just stay away from them. You just stay away from them. This thing just causes heartache and headache. And you know, even Allah Pak doesn't like people who are ungrateful. So you just stay away from them. Right? Now your motive is, hey, you know what, I get him away from his mother, more money for me here. He doesn't have to keep fixing her washing machine and her fridge and doing that and doing this. At least we'll have more time together and more money to spend on ourselves. Right? But is that good advice? No, that's terrible advice. Right? Now when he came to you, he's upset. That is his mother end of the day, but he's a human. He's upset over what she told him. Right? Now you should tell him, you know what, man? Mummy is old now. They're old. They just telling you like this. They don't really mean it. Right? They know what you're doing for them. And if they don't know, Allah Pak knows. Never mind. They are your parents now. If they shouted you, if they told you one, two things, don't worry about it. And what do they still need? What do they still need? You can afford it. Sort it out. We'll just cut down on a few of our expenses here. You sort it out for them. Now that is good counsel. That is good counsel. And you see, what goes around comes around. If we spread this type of good counsel, tomorrow you are going to have a daughter-in-law. You are going to have a son-in-law. Right? And if you are always imparting good advice, everybody is imparting good advice, then when you are old tomorrow and you require that khidmat, then somebody will give your son good advice. Somebody will give your daughter good advice. But if we keep spreading this animosity and this hatred and this bickering and this fighting all the time, then what goes around comes around. So khair, if the matter is beyond her, say now she doesn't understand how to sort this problem out, the matter is beyond her, she should ask advice from pious people in her family who are capable of providing some direction. But remember, this mustn't be in a situation where you are going to open the faults of your husband. What they are referring to is, for example, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he explained now what happened in the cave. Now obviously this is something now, I mean, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she comforted Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now what's the way forward? That she couldn't, is beyond her, is beyond her. First time they are faced with something like this. So now she thought to herself that, no, I've got a cousin, elderly person, Waraka bin Nawfal. He's a very pious person. He's a learned scholar. He understands the scriptures. So let me rather take Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him. Maybe he will understand this situation. Now, for example, your husband comes home, right? And he's saying, you know what? Hey, my left arm is paining. My chest is paining. Right? So now, obviously, this can be heart. Left arm is paining and the chest is paining. This can be the heart. Right? Now you can't sit there and tell him, okay, wait, you know what, do a couple of press-ups and sit-ups and wait, let me try. This is beyond you. Yes, what you can do, wait, sit down here, sit down, sit down. Get two disciplines, give it to him. Right, now relax here. Just take it easy, pick your legs up a little bit. Just take it easy, right? Go to the phone the doctor. You know what, there's a problem here. If you can drive, you say, right, I'm bringing my husband to the surgery. I think it's an emergency. Must I just take him straight through to the hospital or should I bring... Understand? That's beyond you now. You can't take that whole, you're going to do heart surgery and everything here. Right? You can't do that. So now you seek advice from someone who knows. Or maybe you don't know how to drive. You can't. You phone your brother. You got an elder brother in the town. You know what? I think he's not well at all. I don't know if he's having a heart attack. Please, can you come here? We need to take him and go to the doctor. Right? That's what it means. Right? So Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, this was something that was beyond her. So now she said, no, let's go to Waraka bin Nawfal. Right? There is another incident that is mentioned here. Very famous incident. You have done it in your seerah. Right? The Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after signing the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, so now they were in ihram. And now they were not being permitted to go into, to make umrah. So Nabiya, now because that Hudaybiyah part fell within the precincts, now they are already entered, now they have to come out of ihram, right? So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that go and slaughter your animals, right? And remove your hair, slaughter the animals, remove the hair, come out of ihram, in other words, right? Now Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were extremely disturbed at this point in time, right? So when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to do this, so they were still sitting around, nobody was really moving forward, they were very, very upset, and you know, it was like a bitter taste in the mouth, this treaty also that the Quraysh came with, etc. So anyway, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to his tent, and at that time he was travelling with Ma Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he asks her, he says, now what do I do here? Sahaba all very upset and, you know, disturbed, and I told them to start shaving their hair also, they all still sitting, what must do? Right? So, Umme Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she told Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you call your Baba and tell him to shave your hair. Right? They'll see you and they'll all start doing it. And exactly that happened. That is exactly what happened, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, right? And he told one sahabi to start shaving his mubarak hair, and immediately all the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they also started shaving all their hair, and the tension, everything that was in the air, everything went away. So sound advice from an intelligent person, see how it worked out. Right? Now at that time she could have said, I mean, which wife doesn't want to spend quality time with the husband? She could have said, yeah, you know, they don't appreciate you and all that. Let's just leave them. Right? Let's just leave them and we go away that side. If they want to come, they can come. They don't want to come, they don't come. Right? We'll go away and you know, we'll shave our hair and we'll carry on ourselves. But no, she gave sound advice. She looked at what was going to be of benefit for the ummah and she gave advice accordingly. Right? Now your husband, maybe tomorrow he's in Jamaat, maybe he's in Tasawuf, maybe he's teaching in the Darul Uloom, whatever, he's making imamat in the masjid, now he comes home, hey, you know, now they want to go 3 days, Every time they want to go 3 days, they want to go to that same town. I'm tired now, I don't want to go by that town there. Every time they only want to go there, you know why they want to go there? Because they got friends there and they're cooking and giving, and I don't want to keep going the same place. So now you advise him. See, you are going for the pleasure of Allah. You're not going for any other reason. Now wherever they go, what you worried about? If Mashwara decides must go there, there'll be khair in there. Maybe Allah Pak will use you all for somebody to get hidayat. Now that is sound advice. But now if you turn around and tell him, yeah, leave it man, we'll go with Durban this weekend, just leave them. Now there you got vested interest, selfish motive. So that mashwara is not right. Right? The husband come and he says, hey, you know these khadims of the sheikh, they don't let nobody go near. We can't even get a chance. Hey, I'm not going for the program no more. Right? So there you advise him, hey, what? You going for the khadims or you going for Allah's pleasure? You don't worry. You can sit for the program, take the advices, put the advice into amal. You don't have to worry about anything else. Right? So that is good advice. Your husband is the imam in the masjid. He got a problem with certain musalli, certain trustees. He comes home. Now you tell him, I told you, open a business. You're wasting your time here with these people. You go open your own business and carry on. That's not good advice. Right? If you tell him, no, make sabr, why you don't consult with some senior ulama, ask them what you must do in this type of a situation, then that is good advice. Understand? So the lady must give good advice, and the husband also must never think that it is above him to ask his wife for advice. A wife can always give good advice, even a child can sometimes give good advice. Right? So now we come to the next section here. Making sacrifices for the husband. The lady making sacrifices for the husband. When faced with any domestic crisis, the wife should bear with her husband and stand with him. She should not behave disloyally by forsaking him when times are tough. Right? She should not fit the description of someone who said, gobble up the gifts and spit out the sacrifices. I mean, the time when you were getting married, and that time he was in a good wicket, he was in a good bracket. So that time he brought the jewelry, that time he gave the mehar money, that time he took you into a new apartment, everything was new there. And then you were very, very happy to utilize everything, and then he bought you a car, then you were very happy, right? Then we took everything. When he was buying new garments, then we were very happy. Now the person has gone into some type of a financial difficulty, right? He's gone into some type of a financial difficulty. So now the lady says, well, I can't stay like this anymore, right? You sort your life out, I'm going to my mother's house. This is totally incorrect. The wife should never remind the husband that something would not have happened if he acted on her advice. I told you don't do that thing. Now you see you did that thing. Now you see where we are. She must never do like that. Let alone a Muslim wife, such behavior is unbecoming of even a kafir wife. Everything happens by Allah Ta'ala's command. Neither a calamity nor a bounty that Allah Ta'ala ordains can be averted. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Qul layusibana illa ma kataballahu lana huwa maulana wa ala Allahi falyatawakkalil mu'minun. Say, nothing can ever reach us except what Allah has destined for us. He is our master, and in Allah alone the believers must place their trust. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all-knowing and will never abandon one in distress. When one pleads for his mercy, it is sure to come rushing to one side. The wife should be especially patient when a husband earns less because he is serving the deen or he is engaged in some halal occupation. Patience must also be exercised when she experiences difficulty during his absence. She should never complain of these difficulties to others, because speaking ill of the husband shall not alleviate the problem. In fact, the problem will be compounded, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will also be displeased with such a wife. She should perpetually make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to alleviate the difficulty, and also ask her children to make dua. during the 7th year after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his prophethood, the Quraysh decided to banish the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a valley near Makkah Mukarrama and to completely ostracize them. This was done to stop Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from propagating Islam. Consequently, Abu Talib and all his family members joined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in what was referred to as the Valley of Abu Talib. At his side was Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَعَهُ فِي الشَّعَبِ. She was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with him in that valley. Although the condition was so harsh that the Muslims were forced to eat the leaves of trees, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha stayed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and never deserted him. Because of Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha's influence on the people of Makkah Mukarrama, food was sometimes brought to the Muslims. However, this was scarce and the children were so starved that their cries could be heard from far off. Despite the hardship, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not stop propagating Islam, and the message continued. All this while, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family, the Banu Hashim and Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, patiently bore the hardships without once complaining and without blaming Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam for their predicament. This boycott lasted for 3 long years. Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha displayed her loyalty to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam for approximately 25 years, patiently enduring all the difficulties that came to them. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha abundantly on our behalf for the tremendous sacrifices she made for the spread of Islam. It is therefore the duty of every Muslim wife to emulate the example of Ummul Mu'mineen, Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She should be her husband's deputy and she should be her husband's assistant in the propagation of Islam. She should be prepared to make every sacrifice in this cause. By doing this, they can also earn the great rewards which Ma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had earned. Many a times I get some ladies complaining. They say, you know, we are battling. My husband hardly earns anything. You know, I'm telling him to look for a better job and try. It's not so easy out there. It's not so easy out there. It's not so easy. Right? Now, the ladies, they keep complaining. They say, yeah, but you know, we don't have this, we don't have that. And they're not complaining about necessities. Most of them are not complaining about necessities. So now I tell them, I say, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you get married to this particular man. Maybe it is because of you, it's because of you that he is not earning so much. Because in your taqdeer, it was written that you are only going to have this much. You're not going to have more than this. Right? So that's why Allah Pak is only giving this man that much. Because it's written in your taqdeer that you're only going to have this much. Understand? So we have to appreciate and we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. We can't just keep blaming people around us. Or because you did this is that. Because you did that is this. No. We must understand that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is in control. Right? However, yes, if the husband is such that he is just being lazy, he's not working at all, he's just sitting at home, he's not even going out to look for a job, then that is a different issue altogether. That's a different story altogether. But here I'm talking about where the husband is working. He's working Monday to Saturday, sometimes Sunday to Sunday he's working. And he's working long hours also. He's on his feet the whole day. For who is he doing? He's doing for his family. Now if the company is only paying him X amount of money, what is he going to do? He's working, he's putting in the hours. They are only paying him certain salary. He's using the salary on his family. He's not going gambling, drinking, womanizing. He's using that money on his family. So then the wife must make sabr. And she must instill this sabr in the children also. She must instill this quality of sabr in the children also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barkat in those earnings. One day Allah Pak will open the road. But if the wife is going to keep complaining, she's going to demoralize the husband. She's going to demoralize the husband. Right? Then the children also will keep complaining. The barkat will go away from that home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand, give us tawfiq to make amal. Inshallah, we will continue in the next period for this kitab. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayhi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.